bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. At this, the Jews began to grumble about him, because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God.' Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth, whoever believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
It's my great pleasure to play the next 2 minutes of video, courtesy of Roger and YouTube. And looking forward to the World Cup, which is the Rugby World Cup, which is to come, I'm hoping that something of this may dominate the whole weeks ahead. Extra points if you can tell me where it is. Poor English people can't take any more. Oh dear. Oh, what a day that was. Oh, do you know Scott Gibbs' feet? Oh. Anyway, those of you who know what I'm talking about will know what I'm talking about. That great hymn, William Williams Pantycelyn, wrote in the 18th century. "Feed me now and evermore." And I'm wondering what those Welsh supporters were thinking of as they sang with their beer in their hands and Tom Jones struggling for the words and everything else. Yeah, the voice didn't quite get the words, did he? No. But anyway, it's a great hymn, and it's a rousing hymn. Usually are Welsh hymns rousing in their tune. But the words are classic. They are words that speak of the very words that Jesus himself spoke out of what we're going to be thinking about this morning in John chapter 6, that inspiration that we're going to be thinking of and have been thinking of in these last few weeks. We've seen how Jesus has been building a community, gathering around himself a people, but it's centered on himself and the act of thanksgiving for God. Remember a couple of weeks ago we talked about Jesus giving thanks. And the word thanksgiving meaning Eucharist. It is a Eucharistic community that Jesus was forming, a thanksgiving community. And that is what God's people are called to be. Thanksgiving for the life that is found in Jesus. And last week we looked at how that life is found, and Jesus' response to the question that he was asked by the Jews, how might we do the work that God requires? And remember, Jesus said, the work that God requires, or the work of God, is this, to believe in the one he has sent. To believe in the one he has sent. Nothing to do with doing good works. Nothing to do with doing your best. Nothing to do with achieving or keeping the Ten Commandments, though important those things are. Jesus knew that frail human beings are incapable of being good enough for heaven. And so he gives us something far deeper to set our goal upon in our whole life's work, and that is to believe, to put our whole weight upon, to trust entirely with our whole being on Jesus Christ. St. Paul, you remember, in his letter to the Ephesians chapter 2, said that it is by grace, God's grace, that you're saved, through faith, through believing. And this is not by works. This is not of yourselves. No one can boast. It is the gift of God. And this is so significant in the communion service that we are given this bread and this wine. It's a gift. You've given it. And all you can do is receive it. Open hands and receive it. And it's the gift of God's life. It's the gift of eternal life. Do you remember the words that are said when you receive that bread? The space and the person who's giving you that bread will be saying, "The body of Christ keep you in eternal life." And we say, you say, "Amen. Yes, that's what I want." This is the gift. It's the body of Christ, the living one, keep you in eternal life. We'll look at that a bit more carefully in a few moments, but that is a very, very, very significant phrase. Keep you in. Not give you eternal life, but keep you in it. The work of God, Jesus says, is to believe in the one he has sent. And this is part of our work, but it's also God's work in us to transform us so that out of that relationship can flow our worship and our service. And last week we were very moved, by Iona's words of how in Teze there was that overflow from worship into service which brought such joy to people, a joy and a freedom. And so the work that God invites us to do is of a quality in this life that is not measured by socioeconomic markers, but by the reality of loving relationships with others and with the one who revealed God's love here on earth. And those who just returned from Tanzania have spoken in their summary in their blog, if I encourage you to have a look at that on the website, of the ways in which it's not material possessions that matters. It's that quality of life that counts for everything. The quality of relationships and the love that was shared between people. A person's life, said Jesus, does not consist in the abundance of their possessions. Life consists of relationship with God, a free gift that is given to us by the Lord. Oh, that is such an amazing thing, isn't it? It really, really is. This life, therefore, is something that we are, as a church, focused on learning to live. We're learning to live this life, which is eternal, which is the life that is full of Jesus, and it's his risen life, living it wherever we are, 24/7, on our front lines, etc., etc. And God's vision for us is that we're learning to live the life that is both now and evermore. In this teaching, in St. John's Gospel in chapter 6, there is no distinction Jesus makes between the life now and in the life to come. He's saying there is all of one part. Is the word that's used in the Greek is zoe. Is that right, Peter? my expert on Greek. It's zoe, Z-O-E, and it means a quality and a quantity of life that is full. It is eternal. It is given by the bread. It is summarized, if you like, by the bread that comes down from heaven, says Jesus. And heaven is that realm of God's perfect rule and reign, where sorrow and dying are no more, death or anything else are ended. Remember that Revelation chapter 21 vision of heaven. And the whole of the Eucharist service is focused around that vision of life, both now and evermore. Hence the phrase, the body of Christ, the blood of Christ, keep you in eternal life. Because we are starting eternal life the moment we receive by faith the life of Christ and say yes to him, having surrendered. Remember the personal qualities of the people who are working for God are those who have the ability to fall down on their knees, on their faces, before God. And therefore, those who are being raised up by Christ. And Jesus says this bread is a bread that feeds the body, yes, but it's also bread for the soul. Life which is everlasting, supremely and uniquely offered in Jesus. The thing that the Jews were focused on was that the bread that Jesus gave was a bit like the feeding of their ancestors in the wilderness, the manna that their forefathers ate in the desert. And they were able to look at that miracle of the feeding of 5,000 and say, thank you, Jesus, that was tremendous. It's great to have that food then. Let's have a bit more. And that's why they saw him as nothing more than the prophet or even a great king. It was almost as if they saw him as Jesus Christ superstar, the one who could miraculously create this food on earth. But Jesus wanted very clearly to divest them of that understanding by telling them that the bread that he gave was bread from heaven, not bread for this earth. Jesus was giving them not just substance, but a sign. The substance was the bread, but the sign was the action that points to a profound reality. That whoever eats this bread, said Jesus, will live forever. Will live forever. Bless you. Medical research is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And it can result in us having longer life. We are encouraged to take vitamin supplements, follow exercise plans, healthy diet, and we are thankful, so thankful for the drugs and treatments for Alzheimer's and diabetes. I wouldn't be alive here if that wasn't the case. And for things like cancer. And we are so blessed by the work of those who do that and those who administer and care for those who are suffering with all kinds of illnesses and life-threatening conditions. The effects that they can have to improve the quality of life and extend the length of our life on earth is inestimable. But you want to compare that to what Jesus is actually claiming to offer here. Here is a man claiming to offer something that, if it's taken inwardly, gives life that lasts forever. I am the living bread, or the life-giving bread, it could be translated, that came down from heaven. Now, heaven is that which is life eternal. Came down from heaven. If anyone, he says, eats this bread, they will live forever. What an extraordinary claim. They will live forever. Jesus later in John's Gospel is recorded as saying, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though they die, yet shall they live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Sorry to be laboring this point, but it's sort of come home to me this week and then my reading of this gospel passage like never before. It's like, this is really, really amazing. And we so easily just go through, have communion, keep you in eternal life, thank you very much, what's for dinner, sausages, oh, that's nice. But it's about, you know, realizing that this is something, unbelievably holy and life-transforming. And it transforms the way that we see death. It transforms the way that we see our death and the death of those we are witnessing, each of us in different ways in our lives. And I want to show you a clip that's on the Bristol Diocese website of David Stevens, who some of you will remember died just over 3 years ago from cancer here. David was an amazing guy who God had rescued from a life of drug addiction and brought him to a place where he could be utterly abandoned to God and find in his life a security and a hope the like of which we can learn from. And this was shot in the place where he lived, very close to where Steve and Sue Powell lived, in the block of flats. And he's wearing his Superman t-shirt, which again speaks of him as a person who believed that God was sort of superhuman, and he is, but not Superman in the sense that we know, but God was able to do immeasurably more than anything he could ask or imagine. And he's speaking about being immortal. In the same way that St. Paul spoke about being immortal. Let me just read before I see this, these words from St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor can the perishable inherit the imperishable. I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. You'll hear David talking about immortality. I am immortal. It's in that sense the mortal will be clothed with immortality. And when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, says St. Paul, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. And then he quotes from the Psalms, where death is your victory, where death is your sting. The sting of death is sin, because we're all sinners. And the power of sin is the law, because we all fall short of the law that God has given us to love one another. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So let us hear David's experience of this just a few days before he died of cancer. Thank you, Roger.
Recently, I discovered I had rectal cancer. Which has spread to the liver because it's an illness that one doesn't expect to get. It's generally, something that affects elderly people, somewhat older than myself. However, that's where I find myself at in my life journey. What I found was that rather than being frightened and scared, there is something going on inside of me that allows me the freedom and the joy of accepting that I will be spending my eternity on a new heaven, in a new earth, with a loving Father who is God, our God. So I asked that you get some inspiration from these words that I'm trying to express to you. I never ever thought that I would be able to identify with Ephesians, where Paul writes that it is better to go than it is to stay. It's better to go than it is to stay. I never thought I'd ever be able to say that. He then goes on to say that it's okay, you know, he's okay to stay if it is God's will. I never thought I could own that. I had it in my head, but it wasn't in my heart. But today it is. And it has been since I discovered that I have got cancer. And when I go along for treatment, I look in the room of all these people having their carcinogenics pumped into them. And they don't seem to have what I have. Many of them. They look frightened. I have no fear. No fear. Because I know that our Father in heaven is with me. Jesus is with me. The Spirit is with me. And as such, I am convinced that the new earth and the new heaven will be mine, and I will blink my eyes and open to the glory of God. And I won't even know that the time has passed if it passes. This is an incredible gift of God. And I want to share it with you guys. I want you to sense the power and the passion that I have in the full knowledge that I am immortal. That's quite something. Immortal. I never thought I would ever accept that. But I do today.
Very truly, said Jesus, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that came down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. Will truly live now and evermore. Let's just pray. Lord, grant to us, we pray, that inner faith in you, not in ourselves. We doubt ourselves. Lord, we want to be people who do not doubt your promise. To give us life which is eternal. And Lord, whatever place we're at, we pray that we may see our death, whenever that may come, as part of the journey of eternal life which we are on now, and that we might rejoice in the greater light that is to come. In your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen.